Believe it or not, it's even been even stressful for pastors. I can't remember a time that I have been a part of preaching and conducting as many funerals as we did this last 2 years. That added to all the normal stress of life. And so because of the last 2 years, all of us are more acquainted with stress than we ever have been. I was thinking about some of the stressful situations that I've been in as a pastor. You know, I really believe it. I don't want you to feel sorry for pastors, but this is just my thinking recently. You hear a lot of talk about PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, and disorder. That's what it's called, isn't it, PTSD? And I know that the people that have been combat, police officers and many other people are, but did you ever stop try to imagine how much stress it may put on a pastor to see all the people over the years pass away? I've seen, I've done funerals for stillborn babies. I've preached funerals of teenagers, brothers one time that were killed in the same automobile accident. I've watched teenagers die from cancer. And hundreds of people over the years. So it reminds me that pastors also have a great deal of stress. We hate to admit it sometimes, but it's true. And we all have experienced a great deal of stress in these last few years. Somebody did a survey, and they found that two-thirds of the pastors that they interviewed say that they were frequently overwhelmed during this last couple of years. I spent one night in the hospital. I think it was back in October. And my heart was racing, and they called it AFib. And I couldn't figure it out for a while. And then I got to thinking about all the stress that I had been through, along with others. And I really believe that the reason I spent a night in the hospital is because of the stress has come primarily through COVID. I just want you to know tonight that you're not alone. If you felt more stressed this last year, or at any time you feel stressed, you're not alone. But it's important, very important, that we deal with our stress, that we find ways to deal with our stress, because our well-being depends on how we deal with our stress. And here in Psalm 23 is probably the most therapeutic passage of Scripture in all the Word of God. Here in Psalm 23, we see a blueprint, I think, for reducing stress. And in the Psalms, David outlines seven stress-busting habits that will make us happier and healthier and more hopeful if we will apply them to our life. So I want to take this verse by verse tonight and just talk briefly. It's 6:27, and I'll try to get done in an hour at least. So look at Psalm 1 with me again. That's, excuse me, Psalm 23, verse 1. I'm sorry, Bill. I messed you up. The Lord is my shepherd, it says. I shall not want. And that says to me that we need to depend on God to meet our needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is able to meet all of our needs. There's not a need that you and I have that God is not able to meet. You know, it's easy for us to put our trust in other things than to put our trust in God. And sometimes we put our trust in other people. Sometimes we put our trust in family members, a spouse. Sometimes we put our trust in an institution, in the church. Put our trust sometimes in our friends. That's also, when we do that, that is also a constant source of stress when we put our trust in people, because things change, people change. We should never ever base our security on things that can be taken away from us. When you realize that God will meet, can and will meet your every need, then I don't know about you, but it calms me down. I find a peace that I've never found, because I find that He will never, ever disappoint us by letting us down. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 puts it this way. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. So depend on God. Psalm 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Depend on God to meet our needs. That, you know, that word that is translated shepherd comes from the word Jehovah Rohi, and it means the Lord our shepherd. And that's what David was saying when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A little girl one time misquoted that, and she said, the Lord is my shepherd, and He's all I want. Well, that's true. If you have made the Lord your shepherd, He's not only all you want, but He's all you need. And you and I can depend on Him to meet our needs. And then in verse 2, we see the second stress buster. And it says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So this tells me that we are to obey God's instructions for rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So much of our stress that we face comes from being in a hurry, in working too much. I know not everybody works too much. Some people are lazy. But the truth is, good hard work is good for you. It helps you rest better. The second Psalm tells us that we need to obey God's instructions concerning rest. Rest is the antidote to stress. It's God's antidote to stress. Rest is so important that God included a command about rest in the Ten Commandments. He said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And the Sabbath day was commanded us as a day of rest. Because God created us to need a day of rest. In one place, Jesus said, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. That means man wasn't made, God didn't create man to be a slave to the Sabbath. But God created the Sabbath to say to man, you need to take time to rest and refresh. So obey God's instructions about rest. When God tells us to take a day to rest, realizing that He designed us to take a day to rest, it's built in us. He is saying listen, when God tells us to rest, it's not just a suggestion. He's serious as a heart attack. He wants us to rest and to replenish our energy. So we need one day a week to rest. We need to obey God's instructions in His Word to rest, because we are designed by our Creator to rest. It doesn't matter, whether you feel like doing it or not, or whether you think you've got time to do it or not. You need to make time to do it and obey God. You and I need the rest. Jesus set aside times when He went off with His disciples and rested, went off and spent time with them and taught them how to rest. So we ought not to feel guilty when we take time to rest our bodies. What do you do? What do we do on the Sabbath? What can you do on the Sabbath? Rest your bodies. Worship. Take a nap. Refocus your spirit. Spend time in worship and spend some time in the Word of God. That'll give you rest. Recharge your emotions. Take part in some recreational activity. Don't make a god out of it, but take part in some recreational activity. Recharge your emotions. Reset yourself. Refresh your spirit. Renew your spirit, and you'll find a new start and a new burst of energy to continue on. So God gives us instructions to rest, and He expects us to obey those instructions. Look at the third verse. He restoreth my soul. Look just at that first phrase there. He restoreth my soul. And so the third stress buster is this. Recharge your soul with beauty, with something that is refreshing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. One of the reasons Psalm 23 is the most beloved psalm is because we can visualize it. He restoreth my soul. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and He restoreth my soul. Can you close your eyes when you quote that verse or read that verse and see a green pasture, and it just brings a time of refreshing to your spirit. So we need to recharge our soul with beauty. We need beauty in our life. It's an incredibly important part of stress management. I saw a little sign one time that said, life is not counted by the number of breaths that we breathe, but by the moments that take our breath away. So we need to recharge by adding some beauty to our life. It inspires us. It encourages us. It motivates us. And, you know, when you stop and think about it, God created humans to be in a garden, in the Garden of Eden, a place of beauty. not in a place of where we have to breathe smog, in a place of decay. But God created man to place him in a garden. So how do you get more beauty? How do we get more beauty into our life? Get outside every day. Take a walk. Enjoy God's creation. Start your day with God and not with the morning news. You know, I used to wake up in the morning and before I got out of bed, I'd turn the news on. By the time I got up, I was depressed. So instead of starting with the morning news or the media, we ought to take the first few minutes of our day and realize that those first few minutes and what we think about, what we feed our minds on, is going to set the mood for the entire day. So start with the good news, not the bad news. Start your day thinking about how blessed you are and about the truths of God's Word, how God promises to be with us always, everywhere we go, and in everything that we do. I remember one of the things I remember about Ronald Reagan was a statement that he made. He said, you know, when you turn on the news, all you ever hear is bad news. He said, my suggestion to the news reporters is that they try reporting the good news for a while. And if their ratings go down, they can always go back to the bad news. So we need to start our day, recharge our soul with beauty, intentionally, on purpose, put beauty into our lives, surround ourselves with things that inspire us. Some people are inspired with works of art, or by sitting down and reading a book. Some are inspired by working in flowers, or working in the garden, or working in the yard. So recharge your soul with beauty. God wants you to do that. The fourth stress buster says, back up just a little bit there, Bill. Let's look at the rest of that. I believe it's the third verse. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leadeth me. Think about that. He leadeth me. We need to go to God for guidance. That's a stress buster. Not sit around and fret about what we ought to be doing, how we ought to invest our day, but we need to learn to go to God and look to Him for guidance. And we will find less stress in our life. You know, the most common source of stress in your life and in mine is indecision and uncertainty. That's why there's this declaration in God's Word in Psalm 23 that says, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We need to go to God for guidance. God will guide us in the right at the right time and in the right way. And God is never too early, and God is never too late. Nothing. You know, I found this. The reason we need it to go to God for guidance is because we need to know that we're in the will of God for our life. Every day that we live, not just in times of crisis, but every day that we live, And I don't know about you, but it's one of the most refreshing things that I can experience is feeling and knowing that I am in the will of God for my life. It brings me great peace, and my stress is reduced when I realize that I am in the will of God. I've sought Him for guidance. It's easy to look for guidance from the latest fads that are going on around us, or the latest guru or advisor, but the only guidance you and I can trust completely comes from God Himself. So depend on Him. Trust God. There are many times throughout the day when I find myself stressing about something, even slightly stressing about something, I say audibly, I trust you, Jesus. I've asked you to guide me. I've asked you to show me the way. And so I trust you, Jesus. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 1 and verse 1 through 3, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Go to God for guidance, not to men, not to the latest hot thing that's going around, but go to God and seek guidance. It'll be a tremendous stress buster in your life. The fifth stress buster is found in verse 4. And here's what it says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And so this psalm tells us that we are to trust God when we go through the dark valleys of life. And every one of us probably have already gone through some dark valleys. And every one of us are going to go through some more dark valleys down the road. We need to be prepared to go through those dark valleys. He says there, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We'll go through those valleys in times of loss. We'll go through those valleys in times of bad health, in times of uncertainty. And we lean toward one of two responses when we go through the dark valleys in life. It's either grief or fear. When things are not going well, when things are not going right, we either grieve over it, become bitter over it, or we're afraid. And we need to remember what this psalm says. Though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. So we need to let God defend us. The sixth stress buster is this: let God be your defender. Trust in Him. I will fear no evil. Why? Because Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and my cup runneth over. Let God be our defender. Let me tell you a little story. When I was pastoring in Kentucky, I won't go into all the detail of it because it'd take too long, but one morning I got a call from a young man in the church, and he said, "You know your name's in the paper?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, your name's in the paper and my name's in the paper." I said, "Why?" He said, "We've been indicted by the grand jury for shooting a cow, trespassing on a private property, and discharging a firearm on a public highway." And I didn't know what he was talking about. And so we checked into it and found out it was true. There was an old retired county judge next door to the parsonage. And he found a cow dead out in his field, and he decided that somebody was going to pay for that cow, and it might as well be me and this other friend. Well, needless to say, I didn't have the money to defend myself, and I was in a county in Kentucky in the mountains, where everybody was a suspect. Every outsider was a suspect when anything went wrong. And so the outsider was distrusted. And so we did hire a lawyer and went to court. And I tried to talk to the old gentleman, and tried to talk to some of his family to get the charges dropped, and it wouldn't work. He wouldn't have any of it. And that morning before we went to the trial, by the way, the judge was the foreman of the grand jury that indicted me. That's how things work in the mountains sometimes. And so that morning before we left for trial, I got my family together in the living room, and we got down on our knees, and I said, "Now, Lord, if I made a mistake going into the ministry, and You really don't want me in the ministry, and this is Your way of showing me that, all You got to do is let me be found guilty, and I'm done. So it's all in Your hands." And so we went to court that day, and it was a fiasco. I'm telling you, you wouldn't believe it if I told you all the things that took place. And so finally, at the end of the trial, the jury went out, came back with the verdict, gave it to the judge, and he looked it over, and he looked at the jury, and he said, "Are you sure about this?" And they said, "Yes." And they had found... Well, they ended up trying just me. The other two guys, they dismissed the charges against them before the trial ever got started. It was obvious they was after my hide. And so they said, "Yes, we can find." He said, "Can you find a unanimous verdict on the other count?" They had found me not guilty on shooting the cow and trespassing, but discharging a firearm on a public highway, I told them I had done that one time. And so they went out and came back with a unanimous verdict, not guilty. The lawyer looked over at Miss Judy, and he said, "You want to hug me now?" And she said, "What for? You didn't do anything. The Lord did." And you know, Miss Judy, one of the greatest stress busters in life is put yourself in God's hands and His will for your life, and let God be your defender. He can handle it better than anybody else, better than any lawyer can. So, you know, David knew what it's like to be falsely accused. He knew what it's like to be attacked. He spent much of his young life running from Saul. He hid in caves. He was being maligned and demeaned by the king. Yet David wouldn't say anything bad about the king. Let God be your defender. He let God become his defender. One time, and it seemed like I've had a lot of trouble with the law over the years. But one time, yeah, one time in Birmingham, there was a guy going to build a bar next, you know, close to the church, and they weren't, legally they weren't supposed to be able to do that within a certain distance, and he was within that distance, and so I went out and talked with him one day just to see what was going on. He found out I was a preacher, and he shook his finger at me, and he said, "If you cause me," he said, "I'm just going to build a nice place where people could come and have a nice meal and have a little drink along with it, and it's not going to be a saloon or anything like that." And he said, "And if you get in my way, you're going to get hurt." And so I must have mentioned it in church or something. And the next morning, I went out to get in my car to go to the hospital and visit, and a young man's out there waiting on me. He'd never been there before. He was from the congregation. His name was Larry Spence. So I said, "Larry, what are you doing here?" He said, "I'm going to the hospital with you." I said, "Okay." So we went to the hospital. He drove me and visited a couple of hospitals, and then we got back home. I said, "Larry, what's going on here?" And he reached up under the dash and pulled out a 45. And he said, "They ain't nobody going to hurt my preacher." So let God be your defender. It takes a lot of faith, I know, to trust God and let Him defend you and when you're attacked. We all want to defend ourselves, don't we? And you want to correct the lies that people are telling about you. But you know what? We are more like Jesus when we remain silent, when we keep our mouth shut and don't try to defend ourselves, correct the accusations about and the lies that are being told. When we remain silent when we're under attack, you know, that's what Jesus did. When the religious people attacked him, he never once retaliated. Let God be your defender. That I forgot to tell you this. There was a lady the morning there in Kentucky before we went out to trial, a godly lady in the community sent me a message. And here was the message. She said, "Pastor Shipley," she said, "don't try to defend yourself. God will defend you." And she was right. So let God be your defender. I've learned from experience, when we remain silent under criticism, we usually end up with more influence than we had when it all started. And your critics, our critics, will end up helping us, really, in the long run. Let Him fight for you. Let Him defend you. He'll do a much better job than you could ever do, and all you'll do is get in his way if you try to do it. Let God be your defender. And then the last stress buster, well, found there in that sixth verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Expect God to finish what he started in your life. Expect that he will finish what he started in your life. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 puts it this way. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God, expect God to finish what he started in your life. You know, another reason that we face stress is that we fear the future. We're always asking, what if? We even try to get ahead of God and outthink God sometimes. And so, what if? But notice how David writes here in this passage. He writes with certainty that goodness and mercy will follow his life. There will be goodness and mercy in your life. God will finish what he started in your life. And, you know, most of the things that we worry and fret about that might take place in our life never happen anyway. You ever notice that? They never happen anyway. And we tend to look at the future in one of two ways. We either expect everything to go wrong, or we look to the future and say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Expect God to finish what he started. Romans 8 and 28 says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. You can lower your stress by reminding yourself that God is able and capable and will finish what he started in your life and mine. You know, I don't know what burden you might be carrying tonight, what you're stressing about. But you know, whatever it is, it's not too big for Jesus. It's not too big for him. And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor, bring it to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, Jesus wants to help you carry your burden. Whatever it is, he wants to help you carry your burden. The question is, will you let him? Will I let him? In whom do I trust? In whom do you trust? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have provided for us everything that we need. As a believer who trusts in you to be victorious, we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Well, I pray, Father, that we will take your word seriously tonight, There is stress in our lives to some extent at this moment. There will be some stress tomorrow. There will be even more stress in the days to come, and in some cases there will be even greater stress. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us to always remember that we can depend on you to meet our needs. And if we will, we will obey your instructions to rest. If we will refresh ourselves with beauty in our soul and in our life. If we will put everything in your hands, Lord. If we will let you, ask you to guide our lives. If we will trust you as we walk through the dark valleys, if we'll let you be our defender, you will finish what you started. And our lives will bring glory to your name. Father, help us, I pray, to take these truths seriously and apply them to our lives on a daily basis, that we may represent you and the truth of your word in this world by the way we live our lives and by the way we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.